Hi, how are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm fine, sir. How are you?
Well, everything's great, thanks.
Got everybody all at once. What a concept.
Okay, great.
What is your name again?
My name is Edmund.
Edmund.
From Greenville, South Carolina.
Oh, great, great.
All right. I'm sorry to, that I didn't get there at 3:30.
Oh, no problem.
All right. I did have a couple quick questions to run by you, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Fire away.
Okay, real quick. On Smiles 101,
uh-huh.
How long does that last? What does that entail?
Basically, it is our orientation, as I guess you heard.
Right.
And I try to keep it to about an hour to an hour and 15 minutes, depending on the size of the group. I do try to get the group to participate some. It's a chance for me to assess whether or not people are outgoing at all, whether or not they're, too bashful to even speak in front of a small group, But also just a chance to get a little bit of background on everybody, kind of hear them tell their own story. I'll always have them, say, what course their name, where they're working, maybe where they were born, and just to share some other fact or something that they'd like to tell the group about themselves. But, we have four restaurants, the retail side, and then support for that, the screen printing area, the mail room, all those different functions if they work in our office. Whatever area they come into the company from, they all go to the same thing. And, of course, all the same principles apply in terms of what our expectations are, in terms of how they're going to treat each other, work with our customers and work with our suppliers. So, and then basically I go through our vision of greatness, which is what I just talked about, which just kind of outlines for them, how we're going to work together, how we're going to work with customers, how we're going to work with our suppliers. And it's about an hour to an hour and 15 minutes, and hopefully it's pretty much a feel-good deal. The other major component of it is just to give us a history of the company. And I think that's important because we are kind of a unique kind of a deal, and I just want the team members to know what the real story is, at least to know enough to be able to, if a guest asks, to be able to ask a manager so that they do get it right and they just make something up or the worst thing they can ever say to the customers, I don't know.
Right. I'm new here.
Yeah, they don't know. I don't care, type of a thing. And so I think that's kind of important that they can do that somewhat seamlessly. And we kind of modeled that after Disney, actually. I know they have the University of Disney. I think it's a 40-hour week-long deal that everybody has to go through, and obviously ours is very much shorter than that, but I don't have as many characters as old Walt has.
How many people do you have in the restaurants themselves, employees?
Eskimo Joe's about 160-ish. Mexico Joe's better than 100. Giuseppe's just less than 100. And Stillwater Bay, 50 to 60, depending on.
Stillwater Bay is your casual fine dining?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
How do you get this vision of greatness? After you do this Smile 101, how do you get this translated down on the basic level? Through your managers, obviously, but
right.
But sometimes
as much as anything, I guess I'm just trying to set an expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Does every kid act just like I wish they did? No. I realize there's that gap between my vision, if you will, what I want, what I hope for, and what we actually deliver every day. I know that for sure. Frustrates the hell out of me still when I notice it. But the honest answer is, it's awfully difficult. But, hey, if you don't start out at least setting the expectation. And, again, I harp on it all the time. And any time anybody gets out of whack with our vision, I'm clear to point it out. And it sort of seems like ultimately that's kind of my job anymore, is just to articulate the vision at every turn.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever anything comes up, it's pretty well spelled out in there. You just got to think about it, look at it, apply the principle to the situation. As long as you don't violate your principles, you should be able to kind of keep everybody going in the same direction.
Okay. One of the things that I have felt over the last couple of years is one of the reasons why I'm of course, you know, I'm managing the restaurant on a very, you know, unit level basis.
Right.
Is that just, you know, it's one thing, you know, I can, you know, I hear you talk and I get pumped up about it, and but then on a day-to-day level, you know, sometimes my guys, you know, it just seems like they're all about the money. You know, they don't make $100, $150 every night, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to get them to step up to the plate sometimes to do, you know, projects or extracurricular. You know, I have some guys that will come down and do a little bit more, but
right.
Everybody just feels to me sometimes, and we have, you know, in this one restaurant, about 30, 35 people, so obviously not anywhere near the challenge that you have with 300, 400 employees in
right.
the restaurant division. But, you know,
well,
you kind of get beyond that. You know, sometimes, you know, this enthusiasm, this vision stuff, to them, it's just sort of, you know, talk to me about how I can make $150.
Right. Well, and again, you know what? When you get down to it, that's a whole lot of why servers are in the industry or why bartenders are in the industry. But gosh, you know, the people in the back of the house, they don't make those kind of, they don't make that kind of money.
No.
So they've got to be in it for something. And it seems to me that we've got to try to hold out that there is something of value going on here, you know, that the product's really exceptional, it's really great, and we're proud of that, or you know, whatever it is that you hold high. And you know, to me that gets real frustrating. I get real tired of it, and it does make you kind of, you know, I mean, obviously the ones that are willing to go the extra mile, they've got to understand that, you know, that doesn't just happen.
Right.
You know, you've got a facility there, you've got a reputation there, and you know, there's been some work that's gone before them for them to have that opportunity just to waltz out of there with $150. I mean, you know, it's, and so if they aren't willing to, you know, have some sense of loyalty, then, you know, gosh, I'd sure be looking for the next guy that then might be able to, you know, to be a little bit more of a team player.
Right.
And again, I know, hey, I know you got to have 11 servers on Friday night or whatever it is, you know. I mean, you're not going to cut off your nose to spite your face
sure,
or whatever.
Sure.
But on the other hand, yeah, that does get frustrating. And, you know, again, all I can say is you just got to remain upbeat, remain enthusiastic, and reward the people that are really doing what you want them to do and are doing a great job. You know, hey, maybe some of them that aren't quite on board, you know, when you have the luxury, maybe you can find somebody that will be a little bit happier, you know, and a little bit more proud to be a part of your team and has maybe a little more appreciation for what it is they can actually do as a part of your team. I mean, again, if you've got a facility that allows somebody to make that kind of money,
right?
Well, I would certainly expect that you could have awfully high level of participation, enthusiasm, attitude, all that kind of stuff.
Edmund, I got a note at one point, an email from one of my subscribers that laid out a problem rather similar to what you're talking about. She said, it just used to frustrate me to no end because the servers, all they were thinking about was, you know, it was all about the money. Everything was about the money. And then she said, I took a look at our ads and how we were recruiting people, and what we were talking to them about was how much money they could make.
Right.
She said, I went and I recrafted my ads to focus on, you know, be part of a team and things like that. She said that the money has become much less of an issue now with the new servers.
Right, and that may be, even though we don't do ads for our servers, it may be because that one of the things that we talk about in our interview process is we talk about the money.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, again, I think Bill makes a good point.
Right.
You know, and it's what, I mean, if that's what you guys hype all the time, hey, this is where to make money, then you're certainly attracting that kind. And that's not all bad. I mean, again, you want a server to be aggressive and to understand that selling more creates more, you know, opportunity for tip. And in
right.
fact, they're a commissioned salesperson, and, you know, and you certainly want somebody that's at least selling and that's not just an order taker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, so by contrast, there's, to some extent, you know, there's the upside of that mentality, too. So I wouldn't begin to say that, you know, I tend to get all caught up in the touchy-feely and the vision, and hey, when you get right down to it, you know, you got to make money.
Right.
They got to make money, and you've got to make money.
Yeah.
Or hey, you know, you can't afford a vision anymore. You can't afford to do the great things you want to try to do for your community or, you know, anything else for that matter. So, yeah, I mean, again, it's always a balancing act.
Yeah. Changing horses here.
Sure.
If you know, here we are, you know, that, you know, we have uniforms, i.e., you know, we do have some shirts for the kitchen, shirts for the servers.
Right.
Let's say, you know, I want to build a brand here with this, you know, with this retail, whole retail division, yada, yada, you know, I mean, I would love to be where Eskimo Joe's is.
Right.
You know, we're with a small guy, you know, we're doing $1 million in sales in one restaurant a year, basically, you know, we don't have a website yet that we're working on it. If we're going to get started slow or whatever, you know, what would you focus on this, you know, here, you know, we bring you in and say, hey, you know, you're a consultant in the retail, restaurant, retail apparel, sir. You know, what would we focus on? You know, what would we get the most bang for our buck?
Sure. Well, what's the name of the place?
Saskatoon Steak, Fish, and Wild Game.
I beg your pardon?
Saskatoon. It's the name of the restaurant.
Saskatoon.
Saskatoon is a city in Saskatchewan.
Uh-huh.
And the tagline is Steak, Fish, and Wild Game.
Wow. Well, you've got a lot of opportunity there, I think. That's a great name.
Thank you, sir.
Steaks, Fish, and Wild Game. Wow. Well, you know, art sells. That's all there is to it. And so it's just got to get, you got to get the creative side going. And that's certainly something you could get out of house and, you know, you could just hire it. No question. I'd start with T-shirts because they're cheap. A lot of people can afford them. I think I'd start out thinking of them strictly as a medium for word-of-mouth advertising, mm-hmm. and almost be willing to give them away for your cost, just trade dollars out, but to realize that every time somebody wears one, you've got a billboard out there, and, you know, and just try to build it from there. Some mm-hmm. of the things we did early on was, you know, we'd have, you know, cheap beer if you had the shirt on or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, we even threw in beverages when you bought your shirt, you know, you got a free beer with it. And so, you know, you might just think about all kinds of different ways to kind of cross promote, to try to make it appealing and attractive. But, you know, ultimately, the customer's got to want to buy it. I mean, it's got to be appealing enough looking. And I'd also say, have integrity with it. And have quality in it so that, you know, if they buy something, it does last and it looks well wear after wear after wear so that, you know, over time, if they buy two or three or four items from you, they're always high in quality.
Mm-hmm.
They hold up, you know, so that, again, they begin to trust you. And then once they trust you, you know, maybe you can build a lifetime relationship.
Mm-hmm. Now, if that should signify, if your product should be of a quality, which at a casual fine dining, your average check is about 25, so you're right, it needs to be a good T-shirt. Should our price not be indicative of that also? I mean, instead of $5 or $10, it should be $12 or $15. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do appreciate your point, but again, you got to get started somewhere.
Right.
And people will respond to price, even if they're spending a lot for the meal,
mm-hmm.
you know, if something looks like a value. For example, right now over at Mexico Joe's, you know, we don't even do 2% of what we do at Eskimo Joe's. But it's a neat logo. People do buy clothing from us there. And, but right now we're running one T-shirt for $10, two for $18, and a six-pack for $5. And we're actually rolling them up and sticking them down in, you know, six-pack holders. That's way below what I sell them for at Eskimo Joe's. You know, they're $10.95 or $12.95 for most of them.
Right. Give me your pricing again. What was that, 1 through 6? What was that again?
Over at Mexico's now, like we're doing one for ten.
Right.
This is tax included.
Right.
2 for $18.
Right.
Or 6 for $50.
Okay.
So, you know, some volume discounting there. And again, the six pack thing kind of going along with the theme of the restaurant. We mm-hmm. get the, like Corona or Modelo, mm-hmm. you know, one of the import beer. Six packs of the bottles come in, you know, we just roll up the tees and stick them down in the little slots.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been kind of a fun little promotion that we're doing right now. We'll do a lot of that on football game Saturdays where we'll off price them, and we'll make it a nice round number that's just kind of an impulse deal. That's $10, you know, give or 2 for $20, you know, and they just give you $20 and it's a done deal.
Yeah, $20 bill is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
What was that, a no-brainer?
$20 bill is a no-brainer.
Right.
People drop a 20 and they don't.
Yeah.
Doesn't even register.
But, you know, again, my retail price at Joe's Clothes is kind of a different deal now because, you know, we've got these years and years of history of it. We've got, you know, millions of these things in front of us, and there's this reputation and this kind of ongoing brand that's that's so well established. So that's quite a bit different. And, you know, honestly, I try not to get into too much discounting there to the extent, you know, that we can keep from it. But hey, we make buying mistakes from time to time. And, you know, we do have sales like any other retailer does too. I mean, once you've had something for, it's run its entire cycle a couple of years, you know, you've pretty much got the dead merchandise.
Right.
The only way to liquefy it, you know, get liquid on it eventually is to just give it away.
Yeah. Right. When you're talking marketing, down at your Stillwater Grill, is it Stillwater Grill?
Stillwater Bay.
Yeah, Stillwater Bay. Right. At that casual fine dining market, can you talk specifically about some of the, do you need to do extra marketing, or do you find that the brand is so strong in Stillwater that you don't have to do any marketing for your restaurant?
No, we're constantly trying to figure out a new promotion, a new idea. And not unlike most of us independent operators, you know, Stillwater just kind of got on the radar screen of a lot of national chains in about the last 5 years. We joined the Big 12 conference from the Big 8, and I think that got the attention of some chains maybe out of the Texas markets. I don't know what the hell the change was. The bad news is our population hadn't grown much.
Right.
So my top line is really suffering. Especially at Stillwater Bay. It's a downtown location. There's kind of two of my restaurants are out on what I call Restaurant Row for Stillwater now. They're absolutely prime locations. But Joe's is off on a little side street near the campus. Again, 26-year history, you know, big known deal, big tourism draw even to the town. So it does well even though it's not in a prime location. But Stillwater Bay is one that's somewhat the most challenging at this point. And yeah, we're always trying to figure out a market. We're in the newspapers and the radio and local cable TV and everything else to try to stay in front of people and show our enthusiasm and just try to be out there. But, you know, the problem is how do you do it cost effectively, as you know. And it's not easy.
Sorry.
But we do a lot of marketing.
Daniel, could you back up?
Hold on just a second.
My phone cut off on me.
Oh, yeah, you bet. Yeah.
You were just starting to talk about Stillwater Bay.
And we had somebody else on the line?
No, it was me. I was taking notes, you know, and I think my chin turned the phone off.
Oh, right. And
had to recall it back in.
I see.
You know, again, at the Bay, just was making the point that we've got a lot of new competition in the last 4 or 5 years, and the top line has really been tough to get the last few years. So we're constantly doing, you know, all kinds of things to try to cut through the clutter and to get people to think about us. It's much more of a destination type location. It doesn't have the great, you know, prime location with tons of drive-by traffic. So people really got to seek us out, especially for the evening meal period because it's a downtown location. So yeah, we're constantly trying to market.
What are some of the things?
Radio, okay. local cable television, you know, we do it all.
Any of it particularly more successful than the other methods?
To be honest, I don't know what works, you know. I mean, the local newspaper here definitely hits a certain segment of the population, by far the older group. You know, the rest of it, it's pretty hard to tell.
Right. How any particular programs catering to the corporate market?
No, not that we've really acted upon, to be honest. Probably something I'm missing. Tell me what you mean.
I don't know. You just said a good bit of what we, you know, I mean, because the way our concept is set up and it appeals a lot to men, you know, Sunday through Thursday we do a lot of, you know, just, you know, platinum card, go-card, you know, business dining.
Right.
You know, and so given that that's our segment during the first part of the week, you know, I've been trying to find different ways of appealing to that market, which frankly I'm not, you know, I come up, you know, empty a good bit.
Sure.
Or not.
You know, one of the things we do at one of our restaurants is we do a family night, and the kids eat free type thing. Again, I know that's, you probably go, ooh, you know, makes hair the back of your neck stand up, and maybe that's not your image and all
right.
of that. But if you want family business, you know, I don't know. It's something you might consider on an off night. It's worked well for us in our Mexican concept. We don't do it at Stillwater Bay, so again, I don't know. It may be totally off base. Again, if you've got a $25 ticket average, you're way, way upscale from where we are.
From where you
I think Stillwater Bay, we're probably, I don't know off the top of my tongue, but I bet even in our dinner meal period, we're probably more like $11 or $12 average.
Right, right, right.
So, again, you're a considerable notch upscale from where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably have a considerably stronger economic base to work from.
To pull from,
Okay.
Well, I think part of it, and it's just from my time running promotion things, a lot of times it's not as much. Part of what makes it work is not necessarily that everyone works. They won't all work. But the fact that there's always something going on.
Yeah.
And people like that.
Right.
They're doing this, they're doing that. It's a little crazy. And, God, that was a stupid one. And, you know.
Well, yeah, you can't be afraid to, you know, have a flop. I mean, I agree with that. We roll out something all the time just to try to keep something fresh and keep it going on.
Get to keep some action going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm surprised that you have not, maybe it's because of the brand itself, I'm surprised that you have not gone national with some type of Eskimo Joe type of franchise.
Well, there's no question the opportunity is there, and it's just one of those deals. I just home grew it, and I don't know. You know, it's fun being a proprietor. It's kind of fun that there's only one. And
right.
I don't know if I want all that stuff going on, or if I want to even deal with all that. And it's a family. The people, you know, that have made it work, we're all been here, you know, the key people all been here 12, 15 years, and I don't know. It's just kind of a comfy, fun kind of a deal, with the added caveat that this apparel side of it has just gone so far. I'm sure it was all in the tape or the audio deal, but, you know, right now we have 9 temporary holiday stores going, plus our 3 year-round stores, plus the internet and the marketing, you know, the direct marketing with the 800, you know, the call center and all that. So, you know, it's just wild and crazy to think we ever got something going at that level out of this little beer joint. You know,
it's still
to pinch myself.
Yeah, if you don't mind telling us, your retail-wise in your clothing division, what type of volumes are you doing?
Oh, it's big. It outgrosses all 4 of my restaurants.
Yeah, I remember,
to give you an idea.
Yeah, I remember one of my favorite tapes is the tape that you did with that guy out in L.A.
Oh, yeah, with Bob Gladstone?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
No, not Gladstone. What was his last name?
The guy that owned Gladstone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Gladstone's for Fish.
Right, and I remember back then, now that was something like 10 or 12 years ago, that you were something like, I can't remember, 10 million? I can't remember what it was back then.
It's pretty good size little operation for Stillwater America.
Yeah. That, by the way, that's one of my favorite tapes, by the way. I pull it out at least once every 6 months and listen to it.
I love it. Well, I'm really honored that you say that. That's cool, Evan.
Yeah, it really is. But
that makes me feel great.
Yeah. But I appreciate your time, sir. I just, you know, when I listened to your tape the other day, those questions just ran through my mind. I said, you know, I really need to ask him all those things. And,
well, I'm
I appreciate
sure you. Call.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming back on the line and answering those for me.
It's certainly not a problem.
Just when you
good luck in everything
fit.
You're doing.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Take care now.
All right.
All right, sir. We'll see
you. Dan, I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Okay, my friend.
See you guys.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Bill, I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks,
Evan. Happy holidays. Bye-bye.